Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now, here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
7:05 in St. Louis, you're listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After, 590 The Fan, KFNS. Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Elvin Vaughn with you. We're in the Gateway Buick GMC Studios, and this 7 o'clock hour is brought to you by the BP Credit Card. Earn rewards and redeem at the pump. Doug, I think we have the one that you want today.
What's that?
Joe Buck, I believe.
Oh.
Told me to check in with him to see what time would work best for him this morning. He is going to join us. That could happen at any moment.
Well, I'll clear my schedule.
And Kelly Chase, brought to you by Petromart. He is going to be with us, as well as Blues and Laissez Leaf in action this evening. And I've got that game in Toronto.
That's exactly where it is, Tim.
Hold on, let me check the metrics. Toronto, you're correct.
Yep. Yep.
This is the third visit on a five-game road swing.
Nice.
I'm going to put on my coat here. A little chilly.
Someone wrote that into his VO last
yeah.
night.
This is the third visit on a five-game road swing.
Call it a roadie.
I don't call it a roadie.
Makes you seem like an insider. Players call it roadies.
I don't think they do.
You're all bundled up, kid.
Well, it's a little chilly in here. Mm-hmm. It's cold outside.
Yeah, it is. 17 degrees, Jackie Papers.
What's up with that? At least it's not snowing. We haven't really had a big snowfall.
What the New York Knicks did, Charles Oakley.
Oh, wow. Come on, let him sit there, Dolan. He bought the ticket. He gave you 10 good years, and you throw him out.
Nice.
Is that what you were looking for?
Did you see the video of that?
He punched three people.
That's a bad man. I don't care what he's doing. If I'm secured, I'm just like, I see nothing. Someone else can go talk to him. Not me.
I'm telling you. I'm like, I got to see how much Mike and Mike's doing on this. And I went 25 minutes this morning, and it's all they talked about. I'm wondering what they would have talked about had this not happened.
New York Jets quarterback situation, probably.
Julio Jones, greatest receiver ever. Your thoughts?
Mount Rushmore of arguments between former players and owners.
That'd be right up there.
I do have to say, though, when I saw the statement from the New York Knicks and knowing that Phil Jackson's on Twitter arguing with Carmelo Anthony, which is something that would like happen in St. Louis Sports Talk Radio, I was thinking to myself, what the hell are they doing? Well, the statement from the Knicks said, "We sure hope he gets some help soon."
this is
actually a hack operation.
But there is also a local tie in that Dave Checkett's son tweeted out that his dad was going to help bail Oakley out.
By selling the concession stands at Madison Square Garden for the next 30 years.
We all know Dave Checkett.
He was arrested on 3 counts of assault, I believe.
I don't know what happened. He looked ticked off, and it looked like when they were trying to talk to him, it got out of hand, and he is a big, big guy.
Right.
One of the meanest SOBs ever play in the NBA.
He must have been saying something. I don't think he was just sitting there calmly to get thrown out. Do you?
I don't know. I mean, it's easy to say Oakley's wrong or the...
Doug,
I just...
That's the end of the Oakley conversation. Because
I think we already went 3 minutes too long with it. But I see Iggy has posted on the fan page a picture of the Plowhawk sitting on the toilet eating cereal.
I don't need that.
Let's be...
Nice Cardinal cap.
That's fake news right there. Hashtag fake news. Because Plowsy, who was sick yesterday, sick as a dog, God bless you, came in, he did a great job, feeling better today. He came in today, and he ate his honeycombs at the table. Now, I'm a legit journo, Tim, okay? There's no hashtag fake news here, unless it's in regard to the Cardinals.
Right.
So I took a picture of him at the table. But other forces said, hey, this would be a better picture if we had him eating on the bowl as he did the previous day. So hashtag fake news, Doug.
Yeah. I don't think you should allow people to take pictures of you while you're using the restroom anyway.
Well, he wasn't using it.
Yeah, I did the hover technique because I didn't want to... put my pant on the lid proper.
That was the absolute perfect English grammar on that statement.
Your pant on the lid proper.
I love when people use the word pant like they're a 90-year-old tailor.
It sounds like you know just a little bit more about clothing than the next guy. If you can leave off the S.
Now, I told you, Plowsy, if you're ever in a situation where you're running late and you have to bring in your breakfast cereal as opposed to getting your donut or Nana, you can text me and I'll pick that up for you because I always stop at a convenience.
Well, that's the thing. I wasn't late. I just saw I gave my dog his ear medication. That's what I do in the mornings now. It's great getting
What's
up
wrong
even
with
earlier.
His ear?
Oh, he has a double ear infection, but he's getting better. He's almost all healed up. Just got a couple more days of treatment. So I do that for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I don't really want to stop by the gas station. I kind of want to just go straight there. I got gas and Siggy's yesterday. So
gas
I don't need to stop by the gas station. So I just ended up taking my honeycomb, had my quart of milk, and just put it in a little grocery sack with some plastic spoons, plastic bowls, and off I went.
If you're going to eat on the run like that, isn't it better just to get a banana or something? Maybe a bagel?
No, honeycomb's way better.
But then you got to deal with the milk.
Why are you getting in his kitchen, man?
Well, I don't want him to spill. There could be spillage.
Well, I didn't eat on the way here. I waited till I was here.
The biggest embarrassment in New York basketball, though, was not at the Madison Square Garden last night. It was the bus driver for the Billikens.
You can't be drinking if you're going to drive the student athletes.
You're going to look these kids in the eye if you can.
Park the darn bus where the darn bus is supposed to be, and you stay there until we board.
I have a question about that because I was following Rammer, friend of the show.
Upset.
We love Rammer. Now, was this a bus driver mistaken, or was there really a criminal element?
She was charged with a DUI, as I understand it, when
0.28
she was caught.
Blood alcohol.
That's not good.
Right.
That's way up there.
Now, I realize many people are not aware of this story.
Because they were fascinated by the Oakley story.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
After St. Louis suffered a 70-55 loss at St. Bonaventure last night, and that's a tough loss. The Billikens prepared...
Bonnie's got a good squad. They're long, Tim.
Billikens prepared to make the trip home. Just one problem. Their bus and its driver were missing. The Billikens soon learned their 56-year-old female driver had taken the bus 40 miles away to Randolph, New York, where she was arrested on a charge of driving while intoxicated. That comes from New York State Police Trooper Jimmy O'Callaghan.
Oh.
When troopers were interviewing her, they smelled the smell of alcohol.
Sure.
The woman did not resist arrest. As of early Thursday morning, she was being processed at a jail in Cattaraugus County. Is that proper pronunciation? Cattaraugus County? Are you familiar with that? Is that near Geneseo State at all?
It's probably
Cattywampus, maybe?
Oh, yeah. Probably in the upstate region proper.
At first, you didn't know whether the bus was stolen or what the total story was. St. Louis had concerns about the equipment and gear that had been left on the bus, but the players and staff retrieved their items after police arrested the driver and brought the bus back to St. Bonaventure. O'Callaghan said state troopers found the driver and the missing bus with the help of GPS-equipped items that had been left on board. That was a smart play by, I believe, a member of the Billikens who came up with that idea.
Mike Crawford.
Yeah. Brian Kunderman. I think he's FOTS, by the way.
Is he really? He's a good guy.
Said to ESPN, the Billikens reached the airport just after midnight.
It was quite a St. Bon adventure.
Wow. Wow. I'm kind of in awe right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, the mic drop moment for me.
Do you think the bus driver's like, if they miss another open look,
I'm out of here.
I'm not driving these guys.
I can take a lot.
Well,
but
Jimmy
I can't
Cruz,
take
don't
anymore.
Let me down, Jimmy. I've got you beat in Louisville.
They were in that game.
The Louisville game?
No, St. Louis U was. I mean, they were tied with like 10 minutes to go or less and wound up losing by like 15.
Doug, did you see that Greeny and Golic argued for a while on if Greeny is a wuss for eating a sandwich with a fork and knife? Then they laughed fake, and then Golic couldn't believe it because you know he's a jock and all. Thanks, Mario, Chicago.
I missed it.
Yeah, I watched it this morning.
You don't eat a sandwich with a knife and fork, do you?
No, it's not my bag, baby.
Although there are some sandwiches that maybe you'd get it at a deli or something that are stacked so high you can't really eat it without cutting it up a little bit. So
who's
maybe,
the greatest
maybe that's
player?
What he was doing.
Who's the greatest player in the history of St. Bonaventure?
Bob Lanier.
Big Bob Lanier. Doug, good for you.
Well, who else is there?
Taste me.
Neil Cavuto went there.
don't think he got any basketball. Time in the league.
No, he didn't.
I'm sure he's a scrappy little point guard.
Right.
Frank would have loved him.
I don't know that I could come up with another St. Bonaventure player. Jalen Adams, I guess. Didn't he play last night? Other than that.
Did you just argue with yourself in a mumbling way?
About St. Bonaventure basketball.
I got to the end of the sentence and I realized, wait a minute, we did a highlight. I think Jalen Adams was the guy.
Well, there's no argument here. Sherry's Berries is the gift for you and your significant other for Valentine's Day. Doug, Valentine's Day is next week. You're right. Yeah. Have you still not done anything about that? Don't wait until the last minute and end up giving an ordinary expected gift. A gift Sherry's Berries shows her you planned ahead to find the perfect gift and is sure to get the reaction you want. We have Sherry's Berries at our home, and I recommend you have Sherry's Berries at yours, in particular for Valentine's Day. Freshly dipped strawberries from Sherry's Berries starting at just $19.99 plus shipping, or double the berries for just $10 more. You just need this code to take advantage of this deal, and the code, morning after. One word, morning after. These berries are dipped in white milk and dark chocolatey goodness. Surprise her at work. Her coworkers are sure to be just a little jealous, and she'll be overjoyed. Hurry, Valentine's Day is just days away. There's only one way to get Sherry's Berries starting at $19.99. Just visit berries.com, berries.com. Click on the microphone in the top right-hand corner and type in morning after. One word, morning after. Go to berries.com, click on the microphone, and type in morning after. Order now, Sherry's Berries. Dougie, Joey Lunardi has got Missouri as a number 11 seed right now against Bourquet in Greenville, South Carolina in the East in 2018.
Oh, this is next year he does, not knowing yet who might be on the team.
Coaching it.
Yeah. Makes all kinds of sense to me. Let's just hold off just a little bit. Could we complete this season first? Could we have another recruiting campaign? Could we get a couple transfers up in here? Could we get a coach?
You know, the Knicks are 6-19 since Christmas, and they're worrying about Oakley in the stand.
I know.
You know, I'm a lifelong Knicks fan, okay? And I put up with a lot, okay? I put up with an awful lot.
It's
I put up
hard
with
on
Charles
you.
Smith playing volleyball off the backboard at the buzzer, unable to make a layup. And now I got to deal with this! Leave Oak alone!
855-282-8255.
Just give an opinion and scream!
Well, you can't go down there and yell at the owner.
Well, there's some who are skeptical of that actually taking place. This Dolan doesn't have the best reputation.
I disagree. No. Boy, that's got to be a rough thing, a Knicks fan. Oh, and I am one, Tim.
Why would that be rough on the fans?
Because they never win?
Oh, the winning, not the Oakley situation, but
well,
just
that
the
too.
Part that they
Oak's
aren't
beloved.
Winning.
Anthony Mason passed away. As a Knicks fan, what do you have left?
Huh.
Pumpkin picking.
Doug, boys, St. Bonaventure is the patron saint of bowel disorders. I picked it for my confirmation name.
That's
from the Shrewsbury Seat Sniffer. I didn't know that.
Well, as a seat sniffer, he would probably know that information.
Clip that off.
It's a small school. It's like 2,000 kids there.
They got a nice club.
It's like a big high school.
Joe Buck going to be with us here. I think if it happens, it'll be in this 7 o'clock hour, which is brought to you by the BP credit card. Earn rewards and redeem at the pump, the BP credit card. And Doug, coming up tomorrow, you'll be happy to hear that Iggy was able to book Lana Rhodes.
Oh, no.
She has been on the show before. The cat described her as a delight, actually. From her first appearance on the program. It was so good, we thought, you know what? We ought to have her back because she did win the X-Biz Best New Starlet Award, but she was denied.
Like, one time I shot, like, a cuckold scene with, like, my dad and my brother, and that was a lot of fun to shoot.
Right.
Can't we just run that clip? Can't we just run the clip over and over again? That's kind of how they all sound.
I think that's racist.
So what was the first question again?
Yeah. Must we suffer through another interview?
Well, she's got tomorrow off after shooting her DP tushy thing.
Ah. Now, is she one of your Hammerhead girls?
I believe so.
I could see that was pain.
Well, I don't know. There were a lot of them that were called Hammerheads. I'm not sure what
that
was.
Oh, really? Is that
was.
Right? I thought it was just that one.
Well, then they...
And then you just released the whole list and moved on to the Lady Gaga halftime show.
Now, a Hammerhead is a gal with the eyes on the side of her head. Is that right?
I think so.
Iggy does not like talking about it. I'm no, sorry I brought it up.
I never you saw did a book picture. A,
you did book this woman again.
No, the hammerhead. The hammerhead thing. So it's getting old. I mean, you can keep talking about it. I don't care. She's old.
We run look, everything into the ground.
I don't even think I had Lana Rose in my
wait
top.
A minute, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
My top 30.
We've been talking about the same crud for over a decade, and this thing for us is fresh as a daisy.
This
actually,
hammerhead
because it's
thing,
just a couple of weeks old.
It has legs.
It does, Doug.
But no, I don't believe she was one of the hammerheads. If you call Lana Rhodes a hammerhead, there's something terribly
wrong
with you.
Lana Rhodes could be a Victoria's Secret model.
Yeah, so.
Not, like, totally beat, but her face was busted.
Doug, that's Tucker.
He was talking about the fitness model, right? And described her as a 317.
Yeah.
I don't think this is her first rodeo with old purple.
No.
But one of the wonderful things about tomorrow's show outside of Lana Rhodes is the Bertarelli Cutlery Cuts of the Week. And Bertarelli Cutlery is one of the wonderful sponsors of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. And here's Doug Vaughn to tell you about
that. Well, you've heard me talk about Bertarelli Cutlery for years. I've told you about how they sharpen knives for the finest restaurants in town. Plus how I've purchased Wusthof knives for cooking and Benchmade knives for foraging. We know all about that. Now let me tell you about what's new at Sharp City. They've opened a whole new division called Bertarelli Paper Company. They have a warehouse just a few blocks from their store on the hill. And now the fine folks at Bertarelli sell disposable gloves, trash can liners, and all kinds of paper towels. They sell to manufacturing plants as well as many fine restaurants around town. So if you're in the need for these kinds of products, please check out BertarelliPaperCo.com. That's BertarelliPaperCo.com.
Bertarelli Cutlery and Bertarelli Paper Co., wonderful sponsors of this award-winning presentation. Joe Buck, Kelly Chase, our guests, your emails, Hotshots email today, the morning after at InsideSTL.com, the morning after at InsideSTL.com is our prize for the email of the day. Send it in. Free Lemmings lunch from Hotshots. Prize for email of the day, a single Hotshots burger or double chili cheese Dug Dog with a side of TMA Hot Tots. Any Lemming can order this meal for just $6.99 Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 p.m. at Hotshot Sports Bar and Grill. So send in your emails the morning after at InsideSTL. Like, I feel like the month of February, we have seen some outstanding emails. It's been impressive. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, and it's cold. People are inside. They've got nothing else to do. Our audience doesn't do much anyway.
No, the emails are the best part of the show.
A little more time on their hands now.
After all these years, the email has always been a good segment, and it maintains... It's off at a very high level.
I don't care.
You know what I say? Sometimes they're vile. I'm not saying. Yeah. But overall, they're funny. And I say, ring the bell for the emailers.
About 60% of all suspensions come as a result of the email segment.
Well, Tim doesn't read a lot of the text. Otherwise, that would that would be number one by far.
Yeah. Well, how about we keep it clean today? Is that too much to ask?
Is that too much to ask, Plowsy?
I like when they're vile, the Doug.
Why?
And make this show more entertaining. And it's true.
What do you mean it's true?
Couldn't they probably do want to bang you?
No, they don't.
Well, based on the poll yesterday, there was a poll on the fan page. The question was, for our listeners, who would you rather sleep with? Me, Doug, or Lady Gaga? And I believe Lady Gaga only beat Doug by 6 votes.
And the people that...
And you
responded
finished,
to the poll. They were girls. This was sent to an all-girls
school. Most of the members of the fan page are guys.
Oh.
How many votes, Tim?
I'm looking for it right now.
Because Jason Barrett was tweeting out yesterday. Apparently, someone got back to him. He must have tentacles. And he was like, there were over 5,000 votes for this
Wait.
One.
Well, actually, in ours, I think there might have been. I got an email this morning. Hold on a second, Doug. Jason Barrett has released.
Boy, that's an awful lot of awards.
A final analysis on what he learned from last week's top 20 season. I swear to God, he did that yesterday.
He did. We read it yesterday.
Okay, but the email I received is at 6:33 this morning.
Maybe they're just underscoring that he had released it, and you should read it.
Well, there's not a they. There's a he.
Well, he's a big
he
company.
He is I, and I am him. Slim with the tilted brim. What's my? Am I right on that?
Whatever. Yeah.
We don't know what you're talking about, no. Tim, so we'll just say you're right.
Also in the email, it says, also the Barrett Sports Media podcast launched yesterday. The first episode includes a chat with ESPN LA 710 operations manager Danny Zampillo.
Well, I know what I'm doing with my free time.
Danny Zampillo.
Zampezi.
Wasn't he a special teams coach with the Cowboys?
That was Ernie Zampezi.
Well,
but this guy's the operations manager. He's the guy that like fixes the equipment and everything.
Hopefully his first question is, out of the people that are in the top 20, how many have you heard of?
Right. Does he have a top 20 list of operations managers?
I haven't seen
sports talk stations.
I actually know that guy.
Do you really?
Yeah.
You know Danny? Well, can we get him on and maybe try to one-up the podcast?
Yeah, let's beat him to the interview.
Yeah, I know him through the Penguin.
The Penguin?
Actually, he's a very good guy.
How about that?
Doug? Our competitive juices are starting to kick in. We want this interview, and we want it bad.
We need a station engineer from Poughkeepsie, New York for our podcast.
You can listen via the link below, or you can redirect to iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play by clicking on the logos inside the article or searching for the podcast on those platforms. Hope you enjoy it. Doug, that is the debut of the Barrett Sports Media podcast.
Boy, that'll get a lot of listens. I mean, you've really... That's a hot-button issue around the country, is it's what are radio station operation managers doing with their VU meters and microphones.
It's essentially the Statue of Liberty of careers.
I was talking with that Martin. We can't, you know Martin. We did a show together for about 2.5 years. And now Martin is coming back to this radio station with Charlie Marlowe, a friend of this program, to do the 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. show. It's going to start a week from Monday. That's February 20th to you and me, Russ, Audrey, and that's when our show will be down at spring training. So what a big week here on 590 The Fan, KFNS, because you'll have us live from spring training, and then, of course, you have Frank Cusimano, and then he like does a real show, and then at 12 o'clock, you'll have Martin and Charlie Marlowe making their debut.
There's already some controversy.
What?
Charlie Marlowe said we can't converse on Twitter anymore. You know, we're Twitter buddies. And he said because there's only room for one great show, and that's his on the radio station. Hurt my feelings. Doug, they're coming after our crown.
Yeah. Well, I hope it's a fabulous presentation.
Hope it's not as good as ours.
I don't think it won't be as vile as this one.
Either way, it's a shame that Martin doesn't have a show right now because he would like to talk about the Barrett Sports rankings.
Well, bring him on.
Call in, big man.
I believe he's going to come in next week on each show to promote the debut of what I believe is going to be called the Martin and Marlowe Show. Doug, that's a lot of alliteration. You don't just have the M and M, but then you have the A and A and the R and R. That's kind of fun, isn't it?
Right. It's a good time.
It should be Marty, Chuck, and the Bear because Gardner is the Bear, Chris Gardner. I think it sounds... You know, more fun, more hip.
That's his nickname. Martin's number, and you could call him in the break.
His nickname is the Bear.
Yeah, Chris the Bear Gardner.
No, I hadn't heard that.
Way to pay attention.
I hadn't heard that.
They need a better name. How about Big Shush and the Skeezer? We'll call Marlowe the Skeezer. I don't even know what it means. It just sounds good. Big Shush and the Skeezer.
You never know what that Skeezer might say. Boy, he is a card.
I thought he was the White Rascal.
Oh, that's right.
But that never really had legs. The Skeezer would, and it sounds good. Big Shush and the Skeezer. I'm a big shush guy. I like the Skeezer.
Yeah.
That's a top 20.
He might, this Skeezer, he might even wear a hat with a flat brim.
Ooh, he's a card?
Just showing he might do anything.
I thought Two Foxes was a no-brainer.
Yeah. I hear it's going to be Martin and Marlowe. That's what I hear.
Wait till they hear my suggestion. They'll jump all over.
What's yours officially?
Big Shush and the Skeezer.
Skeezer.
Now heard exclusively on 590 The Fan.
Wow. That'd be wild times there.
You've put and taken off your coat like six times.
I know. I feel like I'm at a game at AT&T Park. You just 1 minute it's freezing, 1 minute it's hot. Mm-hmm. Tell you what, I think we're moving into the new offices tomorrow. The carpet, Doug. Does the carpet get laid?
Yeah.
Carpet get laid?
Yes, it does.
Carpet's getting laid today.
Are you doing it?
500 texts. Ooh, I would, but I went to a private school. Sorry.
Okay.
What do you got, a nice pile? What do you got, a nice, what kind of carpeting?
How's your pile, buddy?
Strong, quite strong.
Okay. Yeah, it's a strong carpeting.
Is it a low pile? You're getting a shag.
Oh, I got to retract the name. A skeezer, apparently, is a woman that has no respect. So we'd have Big Shush and a woman with no respect. That would be Marlowe. So we can't have that.
He ain't got no respect. Joe just texted me, and he said he is going to call when he has the opportunity here. So, Sea Monster, knowing that 90% of the time when the phone rings, it's Mike Lee. You will have to, unfortunately, field every call because one of them will be Joe Buck. Mm. It's kind of a bad beat.
Didn't he do a little prank the other day? Did you read about
that? Yeah.
Is that...
I listened to it live at CERN.
I'm here, so I'm unfortunately listening to you guys instead of Stern.
Yeah, you can listen to it. They replay it, which is kind of the move. This is Joe trolling a random radio show while on Howard Stern. Doug, you want to take a listen?
Okay, hit the lever, please.
What's your name? Where are you calling?
Hey, I was wondering, what do you guys think of broadcaster Joe Buck?
Hey, I'm not a big Joe Buck fan.
So you hate Joe Buck?
It's very interesting because he's one of the most hated sports broadcasters in North America.
He gets to call every big sporting event. He must be doing something right.
He is an awful, awful broadcaster, and his voice irritates me, and yeah. I kind of just wish he'd go away.
Is there anything Joe Buck could do to change your opinion?
Is there anything Joe Buck could do to change my opinion? Only if he came out and said, I've been a complete a-hole. Yeah.
Well, who the hell are you to criticize Joe Buck?
Who the hell am I to criticize Joe Buck? Well, you asked us the question.
We're giving the
answer. You must have some major accomplishments in your life to come down so hard on Joe Buck.
We're not talking about accomplishments.
Hey,
we're talking
about
our feelings towards Joe Buck, not who's done more in their life.
No, stop cyberbullying Joe Buck. You know what I think? I think you're jealous of Joe Buck.
Is this Joe Buck?
I'm so glad to be talking to you on your radio show.
Joe Buck called into my show?
Yes.
So you're
haters going to hate.
All I said was Joe Buck has actually done a fantastic job in his career, and I respect everything.
Why would Joe Buck call your show? It sucks.
There's actually polls online specifically that have him rated as the most hated broadcaster in sports, and I'll be honest with you, I see why.
Doug, that I believe that was a wrestling podcast, actually.
He called into a podcast.
Yeah. So when people say to like, I hate Joe Buck, you go, why? And the only thing they come up with is, well, he hates my team. Like, there's not... I get it. You can say he's not my favorite or...
I guess there are a lot of Falcons fans who feel like they hate his team now.
Yeah. I just, you know...
Nothing to do with blowing a 25-point lead.
Is he on hold?
No, it's Mike Lee.
I'm kidding. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no... To hate him, it's almost like it's gotten out of control where, you know, people jump on that bandwagon. The only complaint I hear, and I've said it, even from my family, you know, on the East Coast or West Coast, he seems to hate, you know, whatever team it is. You know, he seems to hate the Yankees. He doesn't hate any of the teams. You're kind of viewing it through your own prism.
I have never understood any of that. I don't hear the slightest bit of bias when he does a game. I don't understand any of it.
Well, plus, you know him. He doesn't really care who wins the game. He's just trying to do his best job.
Guys, what about the Martin and Marlowe show, or as Prod Joe calls it, the more popular MMS? Doug, do you like that?
Calling it the more popular MMS.
Yes.
Well, I don't think a lot of people would understand that.
Martin and Marlowe seems like they met to come up with a name, and they didn't really get anything great, and they just went, hey, there's an M and an M. All right, let's have lunch. They're better than that.
Doug, you must be an idiot. When you have a banner at St. Gabriel's, you call a St. Raphael's or Our Lady of Sorrows kid to lay your carpet. Thanks, Mario in Chicago.
Okay.
Boy, that new gym at St. Gabriel's looks good.
Does it really?
Joe Stats sent me a picture last night. Mm-mm-mm. You had to do a feature on that for Sports Sun.
Did they redo the one they had, or they build a whole new building?
No, redid. South City, I mean, you know, there's...
Yeah, okay, you're not going to go to the expense of actually putting up more brick and mortar. Well, yeah, I've never been in the old one, so I wouldn't know that this one looks a lot nicer.
Come on in. Why don't you go to the 7th grade tournament this weekend? It starts up.
Well, I know who wins it. It's not as much fun to go when the outcome has been predetermined by the officials.
It's a serious charge, sir.
I'll take a look at the banners around there, and you tell me who's right and who's wrong on this issue.
A lot of city championships.
Yeah, duh. There.
Mike Yeo was on the line change yesterday. Do we have any of the... audio from that? No. Do have the Australian Prime Minister making a sex joke about the opposition, but Mike Yeo was on.
Mm-hmm.
It slipped through the cracks. Mike Yeo was on the line change yesterday and said he feels guilty about still being here and Ken Hitchcock being out. How about that?
I saw that TJ Moe had tweeted.
No.
I knew it was TJ Moe, because it was complete sentences and well written.
Now, what is that? What you're saying?
T.J. Moe's a smart guy.
Now, are you trying to say like Hannah's not?
No, I'm just praising T.J. Moe.
Are you trying to say Cam?
Why do you have to
not...
bring? Why are you bringing politics and everything, bro?
What?
I'm just saying T.J. Moe's a smart guy, and when he tweets, it's well written.
What about Cam's tweets?
They're written by T.J. Moe, so they're pretty good. There, praise across the board.
Why would T.J. Moe write Cam's tweets?
There's been some allegations, and I think sometimes it's apparent.
He steal his phone?
No, sometimes Cam asks T.J. for a little assistance, that's all.
These are serious charges, sir.
It's kind of like when Tim has to get into his SUV.
Is it because right? Cam is ham-fisted? And he can't, the fingers are too big to type.
Look, I'm a fan of both those guys, so I'm not going to cast aspersions on either one. I'm just saying that all I said was T.J. Moe is good on Twitter. Agree with him or not, he has some talent for that.
All right.
There, I said it.
Kind of backpedaling.
No, sir. There's no backpedaling here. Straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'll go rogue.
Oh, will you? Okay.
See, my picture of Plowboy is a wholesome one, Doug.
That's better.
Yeah.
That's better. Well, so Mike Yeo must feel a certain amount of guilt that the team didn't perform better, and now
he feels guilty that Hitch was the guy that took the bullet.
Scapegoat, yeah.
As per T.J. Moe's well-written tweet.
Right.
Okay.
So it all comes...
Maybe had I read the tweet, I'd be...
Why don't you follow T.J. Moe?
I think I do. There are still
some tweets.
Probably
blocked him, too.
I don't read every single tweet that ever goes past my timeline.
I get it. You're busy. You're a TV star.
Something like that. Yeah. Emphasis on star.
Hanging with the stars, eating steaks.
Doug, not only did you have Charles Oakley fighting last night, Jordan Spieth, of all people.
He got in a fight?
Jordan Spieth got into a verbal altercation with a group of men after finishing his practice round at Pebble Beach on Wednesday. That's a bad neighborhood.
Yeah, they never catch me there.
Taking issue with those he deems to be professional autograph seekers. So this is kind of a shot at Timberfake. After finishing his round, the group of adults started to heckle Spieth after the 23-year-old walked past them without signing for them. The two-time major winner then accused the men of trying to profit off his name by selling the items online and that he'd investigated evidence of it. Quote, it's not really worth me spending time arguing, but I'm just not really appreciative of people who travel to benefit off of other people's success. I enjoy signing, and I sign for kids whenever we get the chance, but these guys have these items that you've already seen online. Our team keeps track of that kind of stuff, and these guys just have bags of stuff to benefit from other people's success when they didn't do anything themselves. Go get a job instead of trying to make money off of things we've been able to do.
Mm-hmm.
When Spieth stopped to sign an autograph for a young boy, things got worse. Spieth said one of the men used an F-bomb in front of three kids, and that caused him to get angry and confront the men by starting with, "Come on, guys, they're children here." Spieth said the men continued to use obscenities. I felt the need to turn around and tell them that that wasn't right. A couple of them were saying, you're not Tiger Woods, don't act like you're Tiger. But here he's still trying to benefit off me, and I'm not even Tiger Woods. What does that say about you? So yeah, I get into it here and there. I was just a little frustrated at the end, and I didn't appreciate the language that was used. It was just some scums that bothered me. I like that. It was just some scums that bothered me. Maybe we should change the name of this show to Scums That Bothered
just
Me.
Just some scums.
If you ask anybody universally, it's frustrating and they frustrate us, he said of those types of autograph seekers. Spieth has started the year solidly, though he has dropped one spot in the world rankings to number 6. Ooh. He was 3rd at the 2 Hawaii events and tied for 9th, Doug, at the Waste Management.
Well, I would understand his anger in this case.
You don't have to get into it.
I don't
have
any problem with what he did.
I've seen some Cardinal players not want to sign for guys that they know are just selling them, where they're glad to sign for kids. So if they get the sense that it's just business people there, they might not sign. Sometimes they do anyway just because it's easier, but they would rather sign for kids or someone who they think is really looking for an autograph as opposed to looking to turn around and sell it.
Of course.
Yeah.
And that's what Spieth
did. And that's
it
for every, but I don't know.
But you don't need to start cussing around little kids.
I didn't, Doug.
That you want a guy to stop and do you a favor, and then
Doug, I wasn't one of those people.
No, I didn't say you were.
All right, you just said you wanted.
Well, you as in Jordan Spieth. I figured you followed along with that.
Guys, I love that move by Jordan Spieth. That's from Big Hoss. Yeah. Spieth is AMDG, baby. Man for others. That's from Stubby Applause. I didn't know Stubby Applause was AMDG. I like it. Keep it coming, Jordan. That's from Steven Wildwood. Wow, people are on board. Those old autograph seekers are so weird. That's from Big Hoss. Another shout at Timberfake. Guys, number six is better than number one. Thanks. I watched Prince Fielder tell off some autograph hounds after the home run derby in Kansas City a few years ago. He got heated. That's from the Barnhart Brawler. Doug, I got an itch. You scums that bother me.
I asked some guy in Kansas City when the Cardinals were there, and they were all waiting, and they were professional autograph people. That's how they make their living, whatever. You know, I get it. And I was like, when it's a bad day and you guys don't get an autograph, do you ever, like, doctor one up? And they all pointed to one guy who admitted, yeah, if, like, he doesn't get an Albert Pujols,
he'll go ahead.
Like, he admitted it.
Of course
so
they do.
That's why, you know, that's why when you buy something online, You really don't, in terms of an autograph, you really don't know what you're getting.
I don't understand the market for that. Why you would want an autograph that somebody else got? The whole purpose of an autograph is to say, hey, I met Jordan Spieth once, and look, he signed this for me. It's not to go online and say, hey, I bought a clothing item, and look, Jordan Spieth signed that. Why would that do anything for you?
Well, let me ask you this. Stan is not around, Stan Musial. When he was, I never bothered him, but my son loves Stan, so I bought him from a legitimate place.
Stan the Man Inc.?
They didn't have ones that were selling, so they put me in touch with a guy who they know got them from him, and I bought it from him. Stan the Man Inc. is great. But, I mean, my kid wanted that, so that's well, buying
if it's,
it.
If it's a guy who's no longer around,
then it's okay.
It's a little different than just
it is
buying
different,
something,
but
an autograph somebody else got.
But sense. That's the same thing, though, in a sense. I wouldn't have the opportunity to get it myself, but it meant something to my kid, so it means something to me. You know, and some people don't have the opportunity to get it. Like, let's say your son is a big fan of Matt Carpenter, but you're not going to games. Maybe you buy one.
A lot of people like that Jordan Spieth. I'm a big Jordan Spieth fan.
Yeah,
and I know he gets heated. He got an argument last year. People were trolling him on Twitter. He went after him, and now he goes after the autograph seekers. I don't mind it at all. Hey, look, everybody, on the Appliance Discounter phone lines, Joe Buck is with us. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Oh, wow.
Oh, he's in a good mood today.
How about that? Joe, over the last week, you have appeared on Howard Stern's show, live in studio, called one of, if not the greatest Super Bowl ever, and now you're on this show. Is this the best week of your life?
It is, but I feel like it's trending down.
What?
Probably.
Don't use that for a promo. I was going to use that for a promo, and now we can't use it.
Oh, wait, let's start over.
Okay.
This is the greatest week of my life, and this actually tops all of the different assignments and opportunities I've had over the past 7 days.
Wow, Thank you. That'll be perfect. 7 seconds, too, and the Seamaster can put that in, and we got a great promo.
Full disclosure, though, when you get the text from Tim saying, hey, can you come on? You're a nice guy, so you want to do it, but what level of frustration is there, honestly, Joe?
Well, it's been a little while, so I'm good. I was happy to hear from Tim. So,
oh my gosh!
No, you guys have it completely pegged wrong. I'm happy to come on any time that it works in my schedule and isn't inconvenient.
Thank you. Well, you happen to call the greatest Super Bowl, but as you know, last week all I wanted to do was find out what it was like on Howard Stern. So that's where I'm going to start. That was, as you said, a bucket list thing for you. And a couple months ago when you were doing your book tour, you were on, but they had you on the wrap-up show.
Yeah, I was at the kids' table.
You were at the kids' table. And when we were texting about it, you're like, yeah, he's just not really into sports. And I'm like, yeah, I guess that might be awkward if he doesn't really know, you know, everything about you. But then when he gets in there last week, he clearly had done his prep work. And I don't know if you knew this, because obviously you've had a busy last 4 days, but I was listening to his show on Monday, and both Stern and Robin were talking about, hey, it was so great to see Joe Buck. I feel like I know him now because he was in studio, and I really like the guy. So you and Howard must have hit it off.
Yeah, it was cool. You know, it did take some real serious work from Gary to make this thing happen, and I'm indebted to him forever for doing that, because he really stuck his neck out for me, and I felt some pressure going in there to really deliver for him. And I got to tell you, I was more nervous walking into that studio than I was walking into the booth to do Super Bowl 51, just because of the history of how I've been a fan of that show, of you know, all the guests that I've heard that go on there, and then getting a chance to be interviewed by him was thrilling. And I wanted to be good. And I can tell you that I've had more compliments and people just out of nowhere. Like during the week in Houston, you start realizing the reach that Stern has, and I guess the repeat shows that they put up. Man, it was I guess worthwhile making that trip out there and then heading down to Houston for the Super Bowl. So thankfully it went well. He popped up at the end of the interview and was like, "Oh man, that was great. That was so good. You made it so easy." And I mean, I could tell it was genuine. So he liked it, thank God. And I delivered for Gary, I guess, in a secondary way, too.
Well, it seems like, especially based on what he was saying on Monday, where it really didn't necessarily need to be discussed, but he was raving about your performance in the Super Bowl and then feeling like he knew you, and then Robin jumped in, that now you could become a friend of the show, so to speak, in a regular rotation.
Yeah, maybe. I think the thing that he liked was that I wrote the book, that there was a lot of father-son stuff, that there was, you know, other family stress involved, that there was, you know, the part where, you know, my dad passed away and kind of our last conversation. And, you know, I don't know that he was really worried about what my innermost thoughts were calling the 2004 World Series. But I think he was more interested in the family stuff, and then mixing that into what I do for a living, kind of the Twitter hate and all that other stuff that he gets.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess there's a little bit of a connection there. But, yeah, I think we hit it off, so to speak. And you can see I've done a lot of those shows, even the late-night TV shows, where the host is not really dialed into what you're saying because they're worried about their next joke, or they're worried about, you know, how the pre-interview went to set up this kind of fake script that you have to follow when you go out on, I don't know, whatever it is, Conan, Fallon, whatever it might be. And when I looked over at Howard, I mean, he was locked in on me. And that was really the part of the whole process that allowed me to relax and kind of be myself. So it didn't take long to settle in. And that's what I was nervous about going in.
Yeah, you could tell. I mean, I think it was like an hour and 20 minutes, if I'm not mistaken. And I do think you're right. Two things, the father-son thing, because his dad was in radio and, of course, your father. But then also, I thought what was super cool about it was you got to talk about your dad to that huge audience and sit there and tell Jack Buck stories, you know. And I think he enjoyed that, but I just thought it was cool as a St. Louisan and a guy, you know, who had such respect for your father, as so many people did.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I've had people text me that it was cool to hear stories about your dad. And I guess maybe I take some of that for granted because, you know, that seems to be the topic of conversation a lot when I do interviews. So it was just kind of another day on an interview show for me. But because it was for, in some ways, an entirely new audience, it was fresh material that, you know, I've been throwing out there for the last 20 years. I mean, you know, growing up in the business, being in the booth, you know, going to Vegas, all that stuff. I've said that 4,000 times, but for him and his audience, they'd never heard any of that stuff. So, you know, it played well.
Anything behind the scenes that you can share with us? Did Richard Christie and Sal try to get you to shave their pubic hair or anything?
Oh.
Anything going on? Well, I don't know. Sometimes things go on behind the scenes there.
Unfortunately, that did not happen. but I will tell you, you realize that these guys, while they kind of come off as goofs on the show, that they are back there doing phony phone calls. I don't know if you heard it, but the call that they spliced my voice into was some call-in show where it's like, you know, so what do you think of Joe Buck? They're like, oh, I hate Joe Buck. I hate Joe Buck. And then it's me, you know, kind of these responses that kind of fit what they're saying, but don't really. And then eventually they realize it's me calling in. And then the guy's like, well, I didn't say I hated Joe Buck. I said he was great. And then I said, well, you know, they keep dropping all these things in there where eventually I'm telling them how much their show sucks, which makes my toes curl that that's even out there. But yeah, that you realize that they have a lot of cool stuff going on behind the scenes. And a lot of that stuff is just genuine. I mean, me getting to call JD eating his breakfast sandwich, doing play-by-play, that poor guy was just laughing and curling in the corner as I'm just berating him. It was complete bullying, but, you know, it was fun to do.
And High Pitch Eric has a crush on you.
I got to say, you know, Donnie Wahlberg and me. Obviously, he likes balding men. So you got a shot,
Dennis. Yes, Doug. Oh, I can bang High Pitch Eric.
No, the interview would go in that direction.
As well. So 4 days later, in a year filled with incredible championship games, I mean, for real, the only championship that didn't have the drama that we've seen, whether you want to go back to Villanova and North Carolina all the way through the NBA Finals, you and the Cubs World Series, and then Alabama, Clemson, and of course, the Super Bowl was really the Stanley Cup Finals with the Penguins and the Sharks. But, I mean, absolutely incredible, incredible football game. And it was when we were texting last night, I thought it was such a tough spot because I honestly didn't think James White got in on the game-winning touchdown. And you wrote about it in your book. You're in such a tough spot, like the McGuire home run. Did it get over the wall? Do I say something? And then what if I say he's in touchdown, Patriots win the Super Bowl, and then they review it? And then that call lives in infamy, kind of like Dewey defeats Truman. But you hit it right away with, and the Patriots win the Super Bowl. How did you wait to see the referee's arms? Is that what you go with there?
Yeah, you have to. And then, you know, thank God he got it right. You know, I feel like sending the guy a new car or something, because if he puts his arms up and I start doing the Patriots win the Super Bowl and then they review it and he was wrong, I mean, I guess there's not much I can do. There's not – what can you go on? You can only go on the information you're given, but then you kind of go on the apology tour if he doesn't get in and you're screaming and yelling that they just won the Super Bowl. Now, maybe they get in on the next play or whatever it is, but – if they don't, for some weird reason, it's really not my fault, but you can't really live that down. So, you know, that's just kind of the high wire act that is broadcasting today. It's such a different world than my dad lived in, or, you know, kind of the generation before. The broadcaster was the afterthought, but now you're in some ways just as fair game. And if you make one slip up, like I reversed Amendola and Edelman's name early in the game, and, you know, they come out of a four-hour game in front of 114 million people, and I'm chewing on that for the next couple of days, and it's just silly. It's just dumb. You know, mistakes are going to happen. But when it's of that magnitude, at the end of the game, you better be right. And thankfully, that guy got it right, and so therefore, I got it right. You're just kind of – it's a weird, precarious spot to be on in front of that many people and hope that the original call is correct, and he got it right.
I heard somebody say, and I think it was the Fox broadcast, that you predicted an overtime game before the game started.
Yeah, Joe. Right? When Joe Theismann was on with us on Monday, he said you predicted an overtime game.
I did. It was weird. Everywhere I went on Radio Row, they said, what kind of a game? I actually thought Atlanta was going to win, and maybe that's because I just saw them take care of Green Bay the way they did. But, yeah, I said, even to Robert Kraft and Jonathan, we all went to dinner as a big group on Thursday, I guess. And he said, who do you think is going to win, really? And I thought, I'm not going to answer the question, really, because I thought Atlanta would win the game. And then I said, you know what? I think it's going to be a close game. And I've been telling everybody it's going to be overtime. And it was overtime. I didn't expect it was going to go like that. But, yeah, it was crazy. And that was an intense feeling being involved in that Tom Brady, you know, reversal of fortune and watch them come on and tie that game. Yeah, it's funny, though, guys, because you go back and you think, did we make a big enough deal? And I rewatched a lot of it. Did we make a big enough deal of them after the Julio Jones? All they had to do was basically kneel down.
Yep.
And they win the game as long as Matt Bryant hits the field goal, and he's been pretty clutch. And they didn't. And they tried to run it on first down. They lost a yard. Tried to throw it on second down, sack. Try to throw it on third down, holding. They're out of field goal range, and that gives Brady an opportunity. Without any of that, we're not talking about any of this, and you probably don't even want me on.
And then the defensive coordinator gets fired. I mean, they were a few minutes from winning the Super Bowl, and now they're faced with really rebuilding their coaching staff, having lost Shanahan to the 49ers, and now their defensive coordinator too.
Yeah, there's always fallout after a game like that. I you know, Atlanta's loaded with talent, obviously, and they've got a great head coach. Of all the guys out there. He may be our favorite. But that said, you know, when you blow a game like that, you know there's somebody's going to take the fall. And along with losing Kyle, who's got his work cut out for him in San Francisco, you know, he's taking coaches. Matt LaFleur ends up as the offensive coordinator of the Rams. I mean, everybody's bolted, and now Dan Quinn's going, man, we not only lost a 25-point third-quarter lead in the Super Bowl, but we now have to restock our coaching staff, which is a lot to handle on the heels of disappointment like that.
Outside of the personnel changes, which always happen after a team goes far anyway, I keep hearing that the players are going to be scarred and it's going to be hard for them to get past it. I'm not so sure that's the case after an off season and maybe some introspection. Do you think that that's something that lingers with players? I don't.
I think, you know, you move on. And these guys are young. They feel invincible. That defense is really good and only getting better. They've got fast linebackers. They've got a young core. I mean, those guys, you know, maybe some of that comes when you get a little bit older. I mean, Dwight Freeney probably feels that way. This has got to be about the end for him. But for Deion Jones and Keanu Neal and all these guys, they got to be thinking, okay, we're part of a good young nucleus. That was brutal, but we're going to have another chance. And I think they will. They have that kind of talent on that roster.
When you're in the midst of calling something like that, are you and Troy and, you know, Mike Pereira, I believe he was up there with you, and the great Steve Horn, who's always there with you, are you guys in commercial breaks going, my God, I can't believe what I'm seeing? You know, similar to what McCarver said after Game 6 of the 2011 World Series, after the long pause, how did this happen? Are you guys discussing, looking at each other like, oh my God, look at what is happening?
Yeah, kind of. I remember at some point in the third quarter, Troy in one of those commercial breaks turned to me and said, I remember when we used to do good Super Bowls, like joking. And then I reminded him of that when we were leaving the booth. You know, we kind of on one hand felt sick for Dan Quinn in Atlanta, and on the other hand were just blown away and thrilled that we were a minuscule part of that whole thing. But yeah, you know, you're like, when it went to overtime, it was like, my God, I'm sure we were just as stunned as everybody else. And then you got to go back to work and make sure you get all that right. And like we talked about, thank God it went well at the end.
Earlier in the week, Joe, with the commissioner and everybody else involved with the league there, any talk at all about the situation in Los Angeles with the Rams and the Chargers and that whole mess out there?
I didn't hear one word about that during the week, but I think we'll hear plenty more going forward, you know, about where the Rams finished with regard to interest level. Now you're introducing another team there, and you've got this stadium going up and this entertainment complex. It is it's a lot for the LA area to handle. And again, like I've said on here and other places a million times, a great team in LA is terrific. The NFL, anything less than a great team in LA, it's a challenge, and it's a challenge for attendance. It's a challenge for television ratings. I think that has a trickle effect down the line. So, you know, I think it remains to be seen. And the first thing that has to happen is those teams have to get a lot better. And you know, we'll see if they can, and if they do.
Joe Buck with us. I know you have stuff to get to this morning, and then you get to head out of town. When are you guys taking off?
I'd like to not say that, just in case somebody's thinking about ransacking.
Oh, yeah. Well, the plowboy will stand guard outside, so you'll be in good shape.
I'd rather have a timber fake.
Well, that's a real possibility.
That's
there.
A career highlight for you, for him mentioning.
He can go from just lurking in the bushes to actually standing out front.
Joe, thanks for dropping by the program, sir. Always appreciate it.
All right, guys.
Take it easy. Bye, Joe Buck with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, talking the Howard Stern appearance, then also the Super Bowl. It's amusing that Aikman turned to him in the third quarter and goes, remember when we used to call good Super Bowls? Because they were on the first Giants-Patriots, and I think the second Giants-Patriots as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, late third quarter, it looked like one of the worst Super Bowls in recent memory.
Yeah. I recall thinking the same thing, just like, man, this sucks. It's back-to-back, and that would make it 3 of 4 because you had the Seahawks beat the hell out of the Broncos, and then you had last year the Broncos beating the hell out of the Panthers, the only good one being Seahawks-Patriots.
And it was on the verge of not being a good one if not for the Falcons not running the ball and Brady pulling it together in heroic fashion.
That closes out this 7 o'clock hour brought to you by the BP credit card. Earn rewards and redeem at the pump. BP credit card sponsor of the 7 o'clock hour. 8 o'clock hour coming up. Kelly Chase going to be with us. Blues and Leafs tonight. Get his perspective on where things are. Suddenly, a week after the firing of Ken Hitchcock, the Blues look like a different team. We'll see if that can continue into Toronto tonight and then Montreal. We'll talk it over with Kelly Chase, brought to you by Petromart. Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Elvin Vaughn with you. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After on 590 The Fan KFNS, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.